You are now listening to the Steve Des Island Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Des.
Hey, what's going on, people? Steve Des in the freaking building. Yes, me, Steve Des. And I'm here with a brand new Steve Des Island Podcast, the podcast I bring my friends and we talk about crazy and cool stuff. Yeah. That's what's happening in this podcast. You know the podcast right now. That's why I switch it up and I do things like this and I do that. So I was talking here. I got my lovely, wonderful friend, the one, the only. You know him. You know him by now. He's been here multiple times. He's the one. He's the only, Mr. JJ Jonathan Johnson.
What up, everybody?
I got you. You were doing something over there.
I was actually turning the mic on. It was off. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We barely hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
We can't hear you now.
I'm hooking up my mic. Perfect. There we
go. Yeah, we totally can hear all of that.
All right, I'm done. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, we were just talking, you know, because we actually talk. We don't just talk on the podcast and then like we are quiet the entire time. I sometimes feel like that's the perspective of people. Like they just talk on the podcast and then they just run quiet. True, quiet. They don't even say.
All right, the podcast is done. Let me walk home now. Nothing else to talk about.
Silently. No, but we're talking about our. We're both from Florida. So we were talking about our Greyhound experiences and how crazy and weird they are. So I was talking about, like, I took the Greyhound only once in my life. And I took the Greyhound from West Palm Beach, I believe, Florida, all the way up to Gainesville. And I took it up. It was at 11 p.m. It was delayed, too. Then I know we did a couple stops, but we did one stop that was weird for me. Again, this is my first time taking the Greyhound bus. And I get out of the bus, and I'm like, what's going on? And the guy goes like, oh, you have to stop. We stop at this gas station in the middle of nowhere, and you have to do whatever you want for 15 minutes, and they get in the bus.
Yeah.
And like we all had to get out of the bus, like we couldn't we couldn't stay in the bus. So I just went and like I just walked around the gas station just multiple times.
It's like so they can search your belongings.
Yeah,
get off the bus so we can go through.
I mean, they were at the bottom though. They put it. Don't they put it at the bottom?
Yeah, they put your like luggage on the bottom, like your personals and stuff that are up on the bus. Like you leave those too. Cause a lot of people bring pillows and stuff. It was sketchy, man. Like I just remember it was very cheap. It was $50 for me to go from Miami to Sarasota, Florida. And I was just like, oh yeah, it's cheaper than the plane tickets. Last minute, I jump on the bus. It was like daylight. I was like, this is no big deal. Like I've driven on public transportation before, but it did so many frequent stops in like the worst neighborhoods. And like the people, like they get on, they weren't even like friendly. They're not like, oh, like, hey, like you can't really strike up a conversation.
And they also have the most comfortable chairs ever.
Yeah, right?
My ass was hurting. Like I've been pounded by 15 gay men. Like that's how much it was hurting. Like...
That's quite a bit of hurt.
Yeah. Like, it was the most... Like, I was trying to sleep. How the fuck can you sleep on those buses? No. There's no way you can.
Well, you wouldn't want to sleep if you could.
Honestly, if I could, I would have. But first...
When you would get the 15 gay men pounding you.
Yeah.
If you could.
No, because I got a big fear of sleeping in public. I just don't like that shit. And
what are you afraid of?
I'm just afraid because I had guy sleepovers before when I was a kid, and they used to do a lot of weird gay shit to people. Not really gay shit, but like really weird shit. Like they were like grab a marker or something, and they were like do your face. But not just that. They will add things on top. Like they will either try to shave you, or like put icy hot on your face. That fucking happened to me. That's fucked up, dude. That is fucked up.
Dude, that sounds like my best friend. He puts his prescription pills into like his friend's food and stuff. I told him to never do that to me. Like, seriously, I'm like, if you ever do that to me, I would disown you as a friend. But, like, he, like, he's a former Marine, and he would put all of his prescription, he would grind his prescription pills and put it in his friend's food and just watch him trip on it. And I was just like, you have no idea if, like, one of your friends could be allergic to that. But they would do that in the military. They would do, I remember him telling me that they would have, like, kind of parties, like, they'll invite over strippers, but they're not normal strippers, though. There's, like, specialty strippers.
What is a specialty stripper?
Midgets and fat chicks. And, like,
did you see that clip on Vine of that midget stripper that jumped on some dude on amateur night, and then the dude didn't catch her?
I did see that. Yeah, I kept watching that over and over again. Yeah, I did see that. It was a while back, but then that was... I mean, I'm sure it was, like, the same genre of stripper was at this party, but, like, he was saying how his friend...
So that was a specialty, midgets and fat chicks?
And fat chicks, yeah. And, like, they came over, and I think...
How can fat chicks be a specialty? Like, that's so common. I see fat people a lot.
Fat strippers?
Fat strippers?
Yeah, she was a stripper, like a fat...
Have you been to strip clubs?
I've been to a couple. Like, none of them were fat.
You never saw a fat stripper?
Never seen a fat stripper.
Oh, my God. I think my first lap dance was with a fat stripper.
Really? Where was this?
I think it was it was here.
I was in Oregon. I've gone to a strip club three times. One in Florida, twice in Oregon. And all of them, I mean, I'm saying, like, morbidly obese. I'm not saying fat. I'm saying obese.
Oh, okay.
Obese stripper.
I saw a fat stripper. I haven't seen an obese stripper.
No, like, she was obese.
Like, you're talking, like, Jackass obese? You remember that skit that Wee Man is on the bed, and then a really fat stripper just comes in?
Yeah.
It's on top.
Yeah, no, yeah. I would say probably that big.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that, but I seen a fat stripper.
Okay.
I've seen a couple fat strippers.
I've seen chubby strippers, but... This is his description. So, obese stripper, a couple of them, I think it was two. And then I think one or two midgets will come over, and, like, all of his friends are expecting just, like, strippers to come over. And he said he bought, like salami, bologna, and then different, like, condiments, like ketchup and mustard.
For what? To feed the stripper?
Like, no, they were, like, throwing it on them. Like, so when she was stripping,
this is fucking degrading.
I know. That's what I told him. That's what I told him. Like, dude, like, do you know how messed up that is? And, like,
that's so fucked up.
He was saying, and he knew that too. Like, he was just like, yeah, dude. He's like, we were just, like, a different mind state, like, back then. Like, it was years ago. It was, like, 6 years ago. But, like, I don't know. He was, like, a different person for a while when he was in the military. Like, I didn't really know him that well. Or I didn't get to talk to him that much when he was in. I knew him. Like, we were best friends before, and then he did 4 years in the military. But, like, yeah, they were, like, throwing some, like, bologna and pastrami and pepperonis.
And the stripper kept dancing, or she ate it, or what did she do?
I don't know. I hope she was offended and left, because that's kind of messed up.
Oh, he didn't tell you the rest of the story?
No, he didn't. No, he. I mean,
because, like, that's the part he got arrested. The stripper went, like, I'm an undercover cop.
That would be funny. But no, I mean, I don't see how you can put up with that. I mean, you're a specialty stripper, but, like, that's, like, kind of, like, taking it to the limit. That's just, like, degrading.
So,
like, anyone.
So what did they throw the midget? That's my question. Munchkin costume or...
No, I think with the midget, they were just, like, kind of throwing her around. Like, they were.
What?
Yeah.
No, this is not real.
Like, literally, we'll pick her up and, like, throw her to like, their other buddy. Like, literally play catch with her.
Like, she was, like, a fucking baseball?
Yeah, or some type of.
Nah, this is not real.
Dude.
No. How much did they get paid to do all that shit?
Oh, like, that's a good question.
Because
they have a flat rate, I think, that you pay. Maybe over the phone. I think you pay. Because I've catered a party where it was actually out here in Santa Monica, where it was a bachelorette party, and they paid for a stripper. He shows up. You pay, I think, $100 in the beginning, and then you pay the rest of when he's leaving. And it was like, at first I thought I wanted to be I thought I could be a stripper, just like on the side, like not like fully nude, but just like kind of like you do parties, you strip down to your underwear.
You always have to be nude, dude. Especially.
He never got nude.
In the underground stripper world, males, they always get nude and they always fuck on the side too.
How do you know about this?
How do I know? Because Channing Tatum says all that shit.
So he did that?
Yeah. He was a stripper for a long time.
I know he was a stripper, but did he say the other stuff?
Well, he didn't mention it like that explicitly.
Because he didn't do it.
He did it. He did it. But he said, like, I had crazy nights with old ladies.
I was thinking to read into that. Like, for
I bet he has fucked guys, too.
Really?
I bet.
Why? Because you would get more money?
Yeah.
I doubt he would take it.
And when you're
far.
On that broke life that and you are in that circle and you see everybody fucking doing it, you go and fucking do it.
Mm-mm.
Same thing. If you're in a room with Lindsay Lohan and everybody's fucking doing coke and fucking, you'll do the same thing.
No, I wouldn't do coke.
Yeah, you
because
would.
Because Lindsay's in the room. Hey, Lindsay, let me do this line real quick because I know you do it. I would not do that. Like... All right, so this
peer pressure is real, sir.
It is real, but that's just stupid. I would like
Demi Lovato just recently said, "Oh, I struggle with cocaine too." I mean, probably she's doing for publicity, but she's saying
cocaine,
that.
But I feel like it's not when you're first introduced to cocaine. It's not like Lindsay Lohan wasn't like, "Oh, like I was at a party and like see someone doing it, and then I'm gonna do it." I'm sure a lot of her friends were doing it, and after a while, they're like, "Oh, try a bump." And then, like, she doesn't. And then she's like, oh, this is not bad. And then it progressed to her just...
Okay, I'm going to give you a clear example. When I'm here smoking weed before, I haven't done it in a long time, but before, like, and I was like, do it, motherfucker, do it. And you did it afterwards.
Yeah, that was straight up peer pressure. I've actually haven't had that peer pressure since like maybe high school.
And that was just me. Imagine a room full of fucking me's.
Well, that's the thing is there's not that many people who would like
push it on you. Not even. Imagine the person you love the most. And love, I mean, not talk of your mother, whatever. You love, or like, you want them to be like your partner.
Okay.
Or whatever. And there's a lot of them. And they're all fucking doing coke. And they go, come join us.
Have you ever been in that scenario?
No, I haven't been. That would be crazy as shit.
It sounds like they're like bringing you to hell.
I would actually be fucking scared. I was like, wake me up from that fucking dream. Because I'm
like
seeing a lot of
come
the same people.
Come join us. It's amazing out here.
Yeah. That's how
come
it is.
Come down to hell with us. No, like with you, it's like, Try it. Come on. Just went in. Once more. Like, I've never had that peer pressure in a long time. So I figure I'm not going to walk into some club and someone's going to be like, hey, try some coke, man. No, really, man. It's awesome. No, come on, man. It's free. The first month's free on me, man. Like, I feel like they would stop after a while. Like, people who do, like, hardcore drugs usually, like, okay, perfect example. I was at a shoot and this girl's like, she's like, I've never done any drugs until the last 3 months. I've done every drug there is.
Did she just said that out loud? She came in audition, say, she slayed it, and then she said, I never done any drugs.
No, like the thing about it is like the client was a Mormon client. And like even in the breakdown that said like no cursing, no smoking, like some other stuff, like on set. And like she went, like we were on a break and she was just like cursing and then yelling and talking about like all the drugs. Like she was like, oh, when I did Molly, she was talking about shrooms. She talked about doing acid. And I'm just like looking around. I'm like, you do know we're still working on set. And she's like, I don't give a F, blah, blah, blah. And
were you guys mic'd?
No, but we didn't have to be mic'd. We were shooting like this fitness commercial. In another room, like, we're on treadmills and stuff, but then we were in the main room where everyone's, like, fitting and dressing, and, like, the client, part of the client was still in that same room. And she was just loud, just yelling, like, people. She's like, yeah, so when I did Molly, and she's talking about, like, tripping out on shrooms, but she literally almost did, I'm sure she probably did majority of them. I'm sure she didn't do meth, but she did coke, acid, shrooms, weed, like, all of it within, like, a four-month period. And she's like, the best time of her life. Cause like she's
I wouldn't be surprised you'd be like, I did rat poison too.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, I don't know. I did. She was saying the reason why it went well for her and is continually going well is because she was in the right state of mind, which I do believe, because I believe if you're not in the right state of mind, like you're not kind of like quote unquote one with yourself, or you're kind of have like, you're fearful or you're afraid of something's going to happen. You can actually have a pretty bad trip on some of those psychedelics like acid, LSD, shrooms. Like those, if you take those, I've heard, if you have a negative response, you can, or a negative thought, like say you're just kind of like, oh, I'm worried about something may happen. You can, it will actually take it and make it worse. Like my older brother was saying he was on shrooms. He had one experience. He was in Canada and there was like this a bush that was like illuminating. And it was like bright light. And then he was just like, oh, I love this bush. I love nature. And he was like, he went over and like hugged this bush.
Wait, he was outside?
Yeah. And there's other time he was outside in Chicago. It was in Illinois. It wasn't in Chicago, but Illinois. He said that he was out in this field and there's like all these bushels, I think of wheat, and they're all bundled. And he said like there's like a couple of them. And they were all together, like the bushes were together. And he looked over at them, like they turned and were like looking at him. Like they were like facing the other way and then they're looking at him. He was like freaking out. It was like outside during the day.
I learned from a stand-up comedian that when you do shrooms, I never done shrooms.
I knew that.
But I wanted to do shrooms though. Cause
I couldn't.
The only thing is, now that you said that, I think a bunch of bad, because I'm always thinking of negative things, because I'm always thinking of what's the worst that could happen at this situation. Like I don't know, I, for some reason, every time, like whenever I'm walking alone, I'm like, somebody can just come and like slash my head open, which that is the probability of that happening. Like, we're not in samurai era, but I always think of shit like that for no reason at all.
Track that to you though.
Huh?
You can attract that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm definitely going to have a bad trip. But I learned from a stand-up comedian that he said that you just have to close your eyes and keep saying, this is not fucking real. This is not fucking real. This is not fucking real. I actually said that joke better than him. I should steal it.
That's funny. But so that's what I'm saying, though. Like, the girl was saying, like, she was ready. Like she's done like a lot of meditation. Like she's like, you just have to know yourself. I feel a lot of people that do these drugs don't know themselves. So like it takes them wherever they want, like wherever, like you don't know where it's going to take you. So like one of the clients, so when she was like yelling and talking about how like, I love Molly, blah, blah, blah. One of the guys, he was like doing the paperwork. He's a part of the production team, not the actual clients. So like he wasn't offended. But like he comes over and he was like, have you guys tried salvia? And like, I know about it, but like no one else knew about salvia. Which is an illegal hallucinogen. Like it's legal. You can just buy it and start tripping on it. It's legal in Florida. And my friends in Florida were taking
OxyContin's legal in Florida too.
It's legal, but it's not prescribed to anyone. You have to have a prescription for it.
Yeah, you have to have a prescription, but it's so easy to get a prescription for it.
Yeah, it's like your back hurts.
It's like having a weed marijuana card here. Like, it's so easy. You just go. You don't have to go with the whole, oh, my back hurts. You just go pay the dude and you get it.
Really?
Same thing with OxyContin. Like, in Florida, like, they basically have a bunch. I'm not saying every doctor in Florida is corrupted, but I'm saying there's a lot. It's a big business there. Like, you just pay the dude, bam, you got it. And then people are fucked up.
Well, pharmaceuticals in general is a big business in that. Mm. Like, seriously, like, take the, like, all the different commercials. Like, if you're feeling depressed or if you're sad and contemplate suicide or whatever. If you, like, those are just extremes. Like, the commercials are like, if there's sometimes you're mad and angry or sad for no reason. Like, everybody's depressed at times.
Oh, hell but, like, yeah. I got depressed as fuck this year, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I've had ups and downs too. I'll get,
this year wasn't at all what I was planning to be.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be so much better, but now I know 2014 is gonna fucking kick ass. Because there's no way, it's gonna be worse than this year, dude. It was a horrible year for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I had many victories. Like, I was in tons of TV shows, and I was doing a bunch of shit. But it was just a horrible year, honestly. Like, I remember way more of the worst things that happened this year than the good things.
Well, hopefully you can just take those and channel them.
Hell yeah.
That's the main thing, like, with, I feel like, with depression and anger and, like, I mean, because, like, this, I mean, we're living in life, so life happens, you know? Like, some stuff you just can't control. It's not like, oh, I'm happy all the time, and, like, someone passes away, and you're like, I am happy because they're in a better place, you know? Like, they're, like,
the and reason to get to that point takes you months to get to that point.
Where you're just happy?
No, but I'm saying, like, if somebody passes away or whatever, because yeah. That's how I began my year. Like, literally 13 days in the year. Like, fucking my friend got murdered.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I started. And it wasn't until, like, 4 months after all that I was fucking beyond depressed. And that I was like, okay, he's such in a better place.
Oh, yeah.
Things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Because that happened. All these positive things happening now. Well, you know, I was just trying to put myself in a better place. It takes you a while to get there.
Yeah.
And then, bam, getting shot with other shit. Like, yeah. My mom got cancer this year.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
So it was even horrible. Then I had I started becoming more broke. And I was helping out pay the medical bills for her, and I was still paying fucking medical bills for me and shit. So I got, you know, hit left and right. But in a way, and then I wasn't really, and I'm still, you know, working on it, but I'm so much better at it. To manage my time in particular. Because I was like, 24 hours is not enough time. So I was killing my sleep, you know. So I was not sleeping for the longest time. Just trying to make everything, you know, happen.
Huh.
And then in some things I will be like pretty, like if I will focus on the gym, I will be pretty good at the gym. But then I will leave all this stuff behind. And if I will focus on some other shit, like my stand-up or whatever it is, then I will leave some other shit behind. So I was trying to how to put a little bit on everything. And that's where I figured out I got to do a little bit of everything and stop doing, like, so much of one thing.
Yeah.
Because I was doing, for example, when I was doing a bunch of acting, especially that, you can never put that number one. Because it's so an uncertain business. That you, like, whenever you're handed, you know, the opportunity to audition and get callbacks and actually get the job, that's fucking awesome. But if you're just solely focusing on that, like, you're gonna burn out quick. Mm-hmm. Because so many people are like, oh my God, I need to book this job. Fuck, I didn't book that job. I gotta book this next job. And if you're just focusing on booking, then your thing is gonna, you know, your whole, you're not gonna book, period. Because you're just so focusing on getting the job that you're not present at the moment of, like, I'm going to do the best I can to, you know, show them my talents and stuff like that, you know. Because that's all, at the end, that's all you can do. You know, you cannot be the actor and the casting director. You just got to be the actor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that happened. And numerous other things happened, but those are, like, the major things that happened to me. But thankfully, I've learned how to manage my time better this year, and I always take out the positive. You know, I don't like to focus really on the negative. And I know it's not gonna get any worse than this. It can't. Like, I got everything possible like happen. You know. Really? So 2014 is gonna kick motherfucking ass.
Nice. I believe that. Like, I don't know, the stuff that you went through this year, you can also use it to channel it. Because, like, if you think about, like, say, like, 2014, you're booking constantly, like, everything's working towards your...
I'm seeing the change already. Like, December, oh, my God.
Yeah, December's
I've been booking like a really lot. Yeah. December was really. I thought by August to probably November, that those were the months that I was gonna be doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Backwards, like I didn't do shit almost. Yeah. Like I did stuff, but not really like anything like major like that. But on December now, oh my God, I've been booking like left and right, and it's because I found like that new
thought
balance and process. Thought and process.
Yeah. Honestly, that's how it's been for me too. Like just the. the way you think and like how, like, cause I always thought that, oh yeah, around Christmas, like that's like the holidays where everything gets slow and stuff. And like, I've been nonstop. Like I'm working the 27th on that job that you suggested.
What's that? Who's that? You check it?
What's that?
Can you check my phone real quick? Somebody said it might be Shawnee.
It is. You need to charge it?
Nah. It's cool. Pass it. Nigga, don't be spilling water and shit.
Man, this is locked down. You need to be drinking that 99-ounce Panda Express drink you got over there. It's like the biggest cup I've ever seen. I've never seen. Like, McDonald's doesn't even have this. Like, how many ounces is this? Fruit punch is like. It's like a super gulp you can get at 7-Eleven.
You know it.
It's like literally a cup of sugar is probably in that.
That's how you stop dehydration.
That's how you stop dehydration?
Yeah.
No, this is how you stop dehydration, drinking water.
Guess what? Fruit punch is in.
So is
sugar.
You
want, sometimes you want more flavor. I need sugar. I need anything I can because I don't put almost nothing on my body.
I know, you don't. So. Why don't you sip on something while we
because we do that's rude. We shouldn't have a podcast. That's disrespectful to the people listening to this shit.
They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but if I'm like, okay, talk about more of that stuff, Jonathan. Like,
I can't even hear it. Like, I've been taking sips of my water this whole time.
Oh, they've
been
hearing it.
Texting. People don't even know what's going on.
They know. They've heard everything and anything you do. Going back to the Greyhound story. Yes. So we stop at Orlando, right? And that's where that's the big checkpoint. Like we stop there. They got a station there.
Yeah, a huge station.
Yeah, and you have to wait hours to get out of that shit. And but basically at that checkpoint, they also have, I guess, like TSA sort of people. And they're like checking your stuff or something like that.
I've never gone through Orlando.
You never gone through Orlando? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's when shit got crazy. I kid you not. The bus I was in, like, I would think it was like, how many people? 50. Let's say 50. Let's throw a number. 50.
Mm-hmm.
50. Out of those 50, like 28 of them had fucking weapons on them. And I saw it all go down at that checkpoint. And I'm like, oh my God. Now I would never sleep on that shit. Like, I was worried there because of my ass hurting. Now I'm worried about everybody's a fucking criminal. Like,
dude, I didn't even.
Knives, they had guns, they had cocaine, they had anything imaginable was there. And I saw it there when they were like checking and shit. Like, they put people in custody. Like, there were dogs there, like, fucking checking people's assholes for smoking cocaine.
Down, bend over, let my canine take a whiff.
It's crazy, man. I have a friend that, I'm not going to mention her name because I don't know if he wants to share that with the world.
Well, I've shared some stuff, but I've kind of disclosed all of it as my friend. <I didn't.
laughs> My friend. Yeah. So my friend. Yeah. But it is really my friend because I never done cocaine. I would never will. I would never say never, like Justin Bieber. But but so far it's not in my mind that I'm gonna do that. But my friend, she goes to Florida, particular the. Fort Lauderdale, Miami side, you know, Miami-Dade side, all that. And that's where you get, apparently, the good kind of cocaine. And when she comes back to L.A., she has cocaine on her.
Oh, through all like, she flies in?
Yeah.
Miami?
Yeah. I'm like.
And you're picking her up?
No, I'm not picking her up.
I was going to say.
No. Sketch. She just told me. But like, first, I didn't know she did cocaine. And second, I didn't know she smuggled cocaine. Like, that's insane.
That is.
Because just having possession of cocaine is crazy. But smuggling cocaine, like.
That's considered smuggling.
Hmm?
That's considered smuggling. Yeah. Especially coming from Miami. That's where they traffic a lot of it from.
Yeah. Like, it's I can't. I will be so. I mean, I. I get the instinct though. Like for example, because I used to steal like crazy when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and you get that thrill of like, oh shit, I'm gonna get caught or some shit. And but then after doing it for a while, you know, you feel comfortable enough. Of like, so she probably feels already like comfortable. She's done it so many times, probably. But like, I just can't imagine.
You can't even get comfortable with that.
Because even taking an edible, which is, you know, is weed, is it shouldn't be. Well, it's still like outside of here. It's like cocaine, sort of. Like they say, oh, it's illegal and shit.
Yeah.
It's just we're so comfortable because California and here is like whatever. But like even taking that, I'll be paranoid. I can't do it. Like I always get high before taking the plane.
How would she? Does she take like she like swallow it? Like, how does she?
No, she. I thought she put it like inside her ass or some shit like that. But apparently, it's like I guess in a pocket of her bra,
huh?
Or something like it, or like I guess by her titty.
So it's not.
Mm-hmm.
No one can smell it or something.
I don't know exactly, but that's what I know that she told me. And but yeah, I'm like, oh shit, like that's insane.
What if she gets a random pat down?
I know. Like, I don't know. That's crazy for me.
That's, yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like...
I feel paranoid when I have a water bottle.
I know, right?
Like, last time, I was like, fuck, I got, like, two water bottles. I'm like, I got two water bottles. You know, I'm paranoid about that. It's water bottle. It's nothing. And then when I passed, they were like, you got to throw it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man, it's just water. Like I just bought it here for fucking $8.
They want you to buy it for $16 on the other side.
Yeah. Fucked up, man.
No, I'm paranoid about like just bringing like saline solution. I've had them throw away like lotion. Like I couldn't bring anything. Oh, but do you know what? I just read on a blog that you can bring alcohol onto the plane, long as they're like the little samples, like those little mini, like you know how those sample size, like Jack Daniels, not sample sizes, but they're like the little mini. They're like when you get in the hotel or like a hotel liquor cabinet that they charge you like $10 for. But if you can go to like a 7-Eleven and buy all the little mini ones, and you put them into your liquid bag and zip them up, and they will like. Plain as day, like they'll look at it and be like, oh, like okay, like it's all under the ounce requirement, and you can literally bring them on the plane and mix drinks. Just ask for like you want some 7 or 7 Up, and then just pour your vodka into it and just make your drink. Obviously, you're not supposed to do it in front of them, like not like crack it open and pour it in, but like just reach into your bag, your carry on, and just pour it in. Pour some vodka in your 7-Up and you're good.
I might do that with edibles though, cause I'm not really a huge drinker. I drink like really rare, really rarely. I drink. Huh.
I don't drink frequently, but I drink more than any other stimulant.
Stimulant. You drink coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
Energy drinks?
No.
When was the last time you had an energy drink?
Maybe I worked at a coffee shop in Oregon and we sold Red Bulls, infused Red Bulls, so we would make...
I think I never had a Red Bull.
Really? I mean, I probably literally had one Red Bull ever. I mean, they're not great.
I had a lot of Monster. That's the one I used to have.
Yeah, I've never finished. I've had a sip of a Monster, but I don't drink any energy drinks. The thing about me is that... I think it affects my heart rate more so than majority
of people. Oh, hell yeah. My heart beats like insanely.
Yeah, that's why I don't drink coffee either. Like, I don't drink it because it's like, oh, I'm against coffee. It's unhealthy. It's just like I would drink decaf coffee now and then, but like I would get jittery. Like say I would ask for someone to pick me up a coffee and I tell them decaf and they forget and they just give me a regular coffee and I'm like drinking it and then I just get... like really just jittery, my hands are shaking. I get really antsy. I get like I'm hyped up, but not in a good way at all. I don't like it.
I don't drink coffee just because it makes me shit.
Oh, that's actually good. I actually drink coffee because of that. So, like, if you...
No, that with weed, I'm cool with that because weed makes you shit, too.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
You never knew it? Oh, my God, dude.
Really? I never heard of that. Actually, that makes sense, though, because like, I smoked cigarettes for a time being, and actually cigarettes does the same
thing. Ew, you smoke cigarettes? Yeah. Ew, get out of my house. Get out. Get out. Ew.
I actually have a lisp because I smoke cigarettes. Yeah, I smoked cigarettes when I lived in New York for a little bit.
Have you tried those e-cigs?
No.
It's from the same companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the same company that do cigarettes is the same companies that are doing the fucking e-cigs. So it's like, I mean, they're healthier, of course, but still,
honestly, they're killing you. Honestly, any smoke going into your body, is that healthy for you? Even like hookah smoke.
I don't know if you get actual smoke with that or if it's vapor.
It's hot regardless, though. Like, so like.
No, because for example, I have a vaporizer, mm-hmm. and that shit's not, it's not smoke. It's only vapor. So I can put it almost to the point of combustion, because that's when it's bad for you. When the heat gets to the point of combustion, your element gets into the point of combustion, and you inhale that. That's what fucks up your lungs.
Yeah, that's actually bad. So I guess a vapor actually would probably, it's a lot healthier.
I mean, no matter what, you should not smoke anything. Period. Like, it's not good for you. But at the end of the day, do whatever the fuck you want to do, dude.
Yeah, I mean.
I know people that has been smoking and fucking drinking and fucking doing crazy shit, having random sex, and they fucking live till they're 90.
Yeah.
And I met people that fucking did that once, and that's it.
Well, it goes back to the whole, like, how you view it yourself, you know? Like, how you view, like, your traumatic things, your, like, depression, your funks that you get in. It's like all how you process it. Like, if you're doing all that stuff and you're just like, oh, like, I'm just having fun and having a time in my life, then I don't think it would necessarily negatively affect you. Like, I mean, when I was smoking, it's not like I didn't know it was bad for me in the first place, but like, I was smoking because like, I would get like a buzz off of it. Like, I remember living in New York.
That's what I never really understood about smoking. Because I always saw people smoking, but I never really understood. Because I know with drugs in particular, and cigarettes are a type of drug, but with drugs was labeled drugs, which is, you know, was weed and ecstasy and shit like that. It makes you hallucinate in a way, or makes you, like, you know, experience a different type of life, sort of. But with cigarettes, like, I just see people fucking being normal, not really, like, changing that much their mood or anything. You saw people just doing it for doing it. And it wasn't until I spent a day with this random lady that I never knew, ever. Like, I just met this person, and my sister went, like, go with her. And I'm like, okay.
How old were you?
I was in my teens. I was probably 16, 17.
Go with her? Like, was she babysitting or something?
No, because my sister was working at Best Buy. And I was just there fucking bored out of my mind, just fucking looking at the same headphones or the same computers or whatever the fuck I was doing. And later, when she got out of her shift, we were going to her house to do a little party, like a get-together party thing, a small chill thing. And since I was just there bored, she's like, oh, go with her, whatever, and I'll see you later. She wasn't going to be out to like 5, 6, 7 hours later. Like, so I was going to be with her for a long time. With this lady I haven't met ever. Like, this is the first time I see her ever. So I go with her, and she's this big lady. She was probably a fat stripper. And call obese. Back.
And,
obese. And... the first thing that happens, she goes outside, right? Somebody calls her on the phone, and she goes outside. And she opens the door and says, hey, can you pass me whatever it was, like the keys or whatever it is? I'm like, where is it? And she's like, in that cabinet over there. And I'm like, okay. I open the cabinet. Kid you not. The biggest fucking pink vibrator I've seen in my entire life was there. Like, I'm not making this shit up. Like, I saw it right there, and it was like wet at top. And oh, it was gross. It was fucking nasty.
Did not see that one coming.
Yeah, I didn't want to dig my fingers in that shit.
But I just fucking went like this with my elbow and I grabbed the keys.
That's nasty.
And I passed it to her. And then I started to notice a pattern. She would come in and have a beer. And then she would go outside and smoke a cigarette. And then she would come in and have a beer. And then she would go outside and smoke a cigarette. And she will keep doing this for the longest fucking time. It will take her like 7 minutes to drink that beer, 5 minutes to smoke a cigarette. Same thing, same time lapse. She was doing the same thing over and over. So in one of those moments, I stop her. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I didn't say it like that. I said, like, yeah, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, what's wrong? But, and she's like, oh, I have a rule. And I'm like, what's that rule? So every time I drink a beer, I have to smoke a cigarette. And every time I smoke a cigarette, I have to drink a beer. So I'm like, you're in this pattern that you never stop like, yeah, until you run out. She's like, yeah, basically. It's just I get a buzz off of it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When I lived in New York, okay, so say you smoke a cigarette, you'll get a nicotine buzz. But then if you're drinking, you can get a bigger buzz. Like I would literally, I remember when I was trying to quit smoking, and whenever I would go out and drink.
Is it really that hard?
No, like I tell my friends that I started smoking to prove that it's easy to quit. Like it's not that hard for me to quit. But the thing is, like, I can drop things easily. Like I can drop.
Yeah, that's all in the person. If you're an addicted type, then it's going to be way more difficult for you to quit. So but if you're a person that can drop it.
Yeah, no, I drop anything quickly. I can drop friendships. I can drop jobs, family, relationships pretty quickly. It's just kind of like I just shift somewhere in my head and it's like, all right, we're done. But with smoking, when I would go out and drink, it would remind me of like smoking. So then I was like, man, like then that's when the peer pressure of like having other friends around and they're smoking, I want to be like, oh, I really want a cigarette. But like, it's like after a while, you just kind of make that. So, cause like, honestly, like everyone, no one enjoys smoking. No one enjoys the smell of it. No one enjoys like what it does to you health wise or how does it make you feel afterwards? Because like
nobody likes the smell of smoking.
No one likes the smell of smoke, cigarette smoke.
I thought like people would be like, actually, because for example, when I smell weed, I'm like,
Yeah, but that's different. Like it's more of like weed. But,
but before, when I was anti weed, when I thought weed was the devil, I wasn't like, ew, like, but it was like, whoa, that's a strong smell.
Yeah. Well, like, it's going to make you cough, you know, like cigarette smoke, like you literally will get a whiff of that. You can start coughing. Some people, though.
There has to be some fucking weirdo or something or a group of people that go like,
No, I was just about to say that I've had people say like, so say I smoke a cigarette and like it's on me, the smell's on me. And like I'm hugging someone or something, they're like, "Oh, like you smell like my grandfather or something." So like it reminds them of their some distant relative.
And then they start doing improv. They start monologue. Well, that word reminds me of my father, my grandfather.
And this jumps right into it. My grandfather was a pack a day, smoked Marlboro Reds. My grandfather actually smoked a pack a day, but they weren't. I don't even know. It was in a gold case.
In a gold case?
Or a gold wrapping wrapper. It wasn't like a box, but like a gold wrapping material with a red stripe across.
In order to get to the gold, you have to like open a safe and shit.
It's like Willy Wonka. It's like it has a gold ticket within the package. The thing is like he smoked until like he died of, I think he died of cancer, but it wasn't lung cancer at all. And he smoked since he was 14 years old.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it all depends also on the cigarettes and all that shit.
Yeah, and like my dad said he never inhaled them. He said he would like suck it. And like put it, yeah, but he would like kind of put it in his mouth.
Or reminds me of my first 3 years smoking weed. I was like, oh, I'm not getting, I'm a pro. Like, I'm not getting high. But I was just, I would hold it, I would be up.
Yeah, that's what my grandpa would do. He's like, hold his mouth and just blow it out.
Yeah, until like a friend of mine, a Puerto Rican friend of mine, that dude got pissed off because he was like, dude, you're wasting my fucking weed.
Yeah,
like,
you are.
You're wasting my weed, man. Like, because they were like bloodshot red eyes. And I'm fucking dandy, like, yeah. Sober Steve.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you're going to smoke this shit for real, or you're not smoking my weed ever again.
And I don't blame him.
And that was my only source. And so I'm like, okay. They're like, nigga, go like. I'm like. And it was so hard for me to, like, just inhale. Because I never really, you know, smoke anything.
Yeah.
Period. And, but they teach me how to properly do it. And now I'm a
ever
pro.
Ever since, you've been on the path of success.
You know it. You know it. Green machine. The green machine, man. You need to get those nutrients.
Speaking of green machine, you need to eat some food because I'm hungry and I'm thinking about eating all your Panda Express.
You ain't right not now. Eating my shit because I need to eat all that shit.
No, you're not going to eat it though. That's what
I'm going to eat it.
You're going to say.
How much you want to bet I'm going to eat that shit? I just eat slow.
I will bet. It's 8:50 now. I would bet. I bet you're not going to eat it by midnight. You're not going to finish it by midnight. You'll probably have a couple of bites.
The Panda? Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, like you haven't eaten I'll one meal all day.
I'll finish it by midnight.
No, you won't.
I will. I will. You want to bet?
If I bet, you're going to intentionally try to do it. But I'm just saying, like, you haven't eaten all day.
I will do it.
You're trying to gain weight.
Listen, when we finish this podcast, I'm going to get a stupid high. And you're going to join me.
I've seen you get high and still not eat.
Listen.
You get like some water or something.
I'm a productive person. That's the thing. It's embedded in my body and my genes. I have to be doing stuff. I don't have time to be eating like that.
Like what? Like having one meal for the day?
Honestly, I think in the future when I get like big money, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around and I'm just going to have like one of those plastic bags that they give you at the hospital. And that tube just put in my arm and shit, just giving me fucking Domino's pizza or something. Like,
you have a Domino's IV.
Just transferring food to me so I can just keep on working. Honestly, I don't have time to be eating, man. I eat too slow. I eat so slow, man. I eat super
you
slow.
You do eat very slow.
Yeah. But
I'm saying, like,
honestly, that's the way you're supposed to be eating, though. Not exactly how I eat because I eat extremely slow, but you're supposed to be eating slower than what people normally go, because people eat pretty fast.
Yeah. I mean, I eat fairly quickly, but I think I eat quickly because I get full fast and I'm trying to gain. The thing about it is that your stomach right now is used to having no food in it, so you can actually literally shrink your stomach, like physically shrink your stomach by not eating.
I know. I have to eat right, because I don't eat before the gym because I get sick. Mm-hmm. But I have to eat right after the gym because I get I think that's the hungriest, I guess, like right after the gym.
See, that's when you're supposed to eat. That's why I go in the morning.
But then I fucking start doing all this shit and I forget.
Tell you what, I'll eat your Panda Express.
No.
You can get more food later because I know you're not going to be eating it right now.
No, listen, I'm on that broke life, so I'm not balling like you, booking 18 commercials and getting released at the end.
Seriously. Seriously.
So talk to everybody about your United experience.
Yeah, so I submitted myself for a United Airline commercial. I didn't even know.
For the Olympics.
Yeah.
This is huge. This is global.
But I didn't even know it was that big until I went to the audition. Because it was like, we're looking for a bobsled.
I actually think one of my pointers guys booked that.
No. They booked Olympians. They booked the Olympic bobsled team.
No. But they not that probably particular role. Background. Probably another role. No, because he said, I just booked. He didn't say, I just booked a national. He said, I booked a global commercial. And that's the only global I've seen.
No.
That's why he said.
Plenty of global commercials. If he said, I booked a Olympics commercial, then that's something.
Well, he probably didn't say it because of like the whole confidentiality.
Well, even if he did, I know for a fact he didn't book this particular one. I was
not that, but they were looking for other roles too.
Okay. Well, he said he booked it. I thought you wanted to hear my story.
Okay. We want to hear your story.
I submitted myself for, they were looking for bobsledders. It was like pay, I don't even know what the pay wasn't even on there, but they're looking for track runners. I have a track experience. So I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I'll pretend I'm a bobsledder. I go up there, get a call back, go to the call back.
Did the same thing.
Did the same thing, the but same like, I had like an outfit on and everything.
Oh, you had an outfit this time?
Yeah, full on like.
Where do you got it from? You had to buy it?
Yeah, I went to Nike and I got the full on like.
Did you return it the same day?
2 days later, I think.
Okay.
I was trying to get a full on body, like unitard. I have friends that are like Olympic runners and they have like speed suits, but I didn't know that was the definition of it. But I needed like a full on, because like everybody else had like full on speed suits or singlets. But it didn't really matter. I showed up, the client's like, yeah, you guys are great. Like, we don't need to do anything more. Like, you guys are it. And they put us on a veil. Literally the week before it shot, my agent even tell me, he was just like, hey, like you're on, you have a callback for this other job. And I was just like, oh, cool. So this other job kind of conflicts with the Olympic job. Like, what's the word on that? He's like, oh yeah, yeah. They end up booking the Olympic bobsled team. I was just like, wow. And then 2 days after that, I was on hold for a dating website called Black People Meet. And I got released from that at the last minute. So I was kind of part of the game. Like, I went to a holiday party where one of the guys from Mike Pointer's
class. You know why you got released from Black People Meet?
Let's hear it.
Because you only date white women.
Oh. This is a comedian, folks. He knows
you do, home. Though. Have you ever dated a black woman?
Yes, I have.
When?
When I lived in New York.
A long time ago.
Okay.
Was she black, or she was Dominican?
She was black.
Black from Africa?
Sure. I've dated black, I've dated two Puerto Ricans, I've dated one Colombian, I've dated a Slovakian.
Puerto Ricans from New York, or Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico?
Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico and Florida.
Puerto Ricos and Florida?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get your facts straight. Anyways, back to the topic. So the blackpeoplesmeet.com, they were casting for people that were in their 32 and up. My friend sent me the casting, and I asked my agent if I could crash it, and then he's like, yes. He's like, go for it. He's like, the reason why we didn't submit you is because you look too young, blah, blah, blah. And then I went into the audition, and everybody was young looking, and I got a call back, then I put me on hold, and then I don't know what they were looking for, but they released me like the day before the shoot. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll see the commercial eventually. But what I was saying was, like, there was a holiday party where my friend was at, and he was from he's from Killian's workshop class, and he was on hold for 5 national commercials. 2 McDonald's, a Verizon Wireless. I don't know the other ones, but he said it was 5. He's on hold on 5 nationals in 4 months, and all 5 he was released from. He's like, and talk about depression.
Wow.
He's like, dude, I was like he was just like, I was like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
that
is crazy. Because even when I have, for example, when I have like 3 auditions in a day, I know for a fact I'm gonna book something, at least one thing. Like, there's no way I'm gonna go and fucking screw up. And it always has happened that I always go and I always book at one thing. I don't book all 3 or 2. I book one thing. And it always is kind of the most important one. Like, I remember I had an audition. It was Coke Zero. It was a print job. The Haunted Hayride. It was a commercial that we were like going like, well, we're in a roller coaster. And then something happens and we all turn into zombies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Walmart.
Nice. And Walmart pays pretty well.
And I booked Walmart.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm booking something today. And then it happened with some other days. I had some other shit. Also, I had 3 auditions in a day, and I booked one thing.
But the thing is, like, you can't control that. You can't control. Like, he was on hold. When you're on hold,
you kind of feel it, though. But when you're on hold, though, it's like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're on hold, like yeah, you feel it, but like you have a call back, and when you're on hold, that means that the client likes you, but then it's up to, like, there's just so many people that have to approve you. So then it's like a process of narrowing it down. Like, I remember when I lived in New York, there was a lot of models that would get hold on the same jobs because they look similar. Like, oh, like blonde, blue eyes. Like the same, like within my own agency, there would be like the same guys on hold for big campaigns. And like, they would always get released, and like, they were like, literally like, get pissed off at each other.
And also, one thing that could happen is celebrities, because that happens a ton of times. Shoni actually got released of a commercial with Blake Griffin, mm-hmm. but they booked the dude from 30 Rock.
Mm.
That dude's been in a lot of stuff. Shoni, where you know Shoni from?
Yeah.
Us, well, that's it.
Same thing with like book the Olympic bobsled teams. Like, why not do that in the first place? Like, it makes sense. It's not like, oh, damn Olympic team, you know, like, it's like, yeah. I don't know why you guys didn't do that in the first place.
A friend of mine, he booked this series, and guess who replaced him?
Who?
Nick Cannon.
What was he doing? Was he doing the hosting or acting?
I think it was acting. It was like a small, it was a series that like got canceled like after four episodes or something shit like that.
I know Nick Cannon was on this one show. It was like Kevin Hart.
Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Yeah, is that still going?
Yeah, it's going.
Is it good?
It's really funny.
Really? It looked like it was funny.
Yeah, it's really, really funny.
I want to see that. Is that on Netflix?
No. It's on BET.
Okay. Because I know Kevin Hart was saying how he's like, I'm on this show just because everybody else is kind of like has-beens or something. But it's that one guy that's on there, the white guy.
Robin Thicke. But he's not on it anymore.
Oh, really?
He wanted to be on it, but he didn't know that Blurred Lines was going to take off so much.
Ah, really?
Yeah. So, like, he totally said, like, I didn't know, like, this song was going to take off. Like,
no way.
It did. Yeah, because he thought it was going to be big, but not that big. Like, it went number one.
Yeah. Blew up. I guess I never even thought of that chain being a game changer.
But yeah, so he didn't have time. He was just booked with performances. And
good for him. That's awesome.
That's all you need, man. All you need is one hit.
Yeah. Just ride the wave. Yeah, but like, I remember the trailer, the pilot of it. I was like, this is pretty funny. Kevin Hart's on there. But then Nick Cannon was on there. And then I remember, I think Kevin Hart was just like, what are you doing on this show? I wanted to like pull it up. Something I was actually thinking, like, what is like Nick Cannon? Like, he hasn't done, and then, yeah, Nick Cannon was just like, man, he's like, I produce, I direct, I do this, and he's like, man, like your wife does all that stuff. Like, you're just writing your
your
wife.
It's about, because it's the fakest reality show there is, because it's supposed to be a reality show.
Yeah.
But it's just making fun of the whole Real Housewives and all that
shit. Yeah, I like that because I don't like following reality shows.
And it's all from, not all, but the majority of it comes from Kevin Hart's, you know, mind. Hmm. And that dude is one of the fucking most amazing, shitless dude I ever met, ever. Like, he's so nice to people, and he's just an amazing person.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, he seems pretty cool. So, oh, did you see that whole lift with Kevin?
Yeah, and Conan and Ice Cube. Yeah. It was hilarious. They did it also in Hollywood. It was like right there. It was right where I used to go to college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Picked him up?
When they stopped at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And that's literally right there where my girlfriend goes to college. Huh. She's about to finish now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I remember they were like, let's get some drugs. And they go like, the driver was like, go to Runyon Park or something like that to pick up drugs.
I bet he got a big bonus.
I think he did for sure. I mean, just publicity alone, like, Lyft would probably gave him money for it.
Because he probably got money for working on it and from being on TV, too. Because his face went on TV and shit.
Yeah. I don't know how that works, though. Because I feel like he would not get, I don't see the show paying him that much money for that. But I can see Lyft paying him.
But he's talking. He has to get paid.
But I feel like I'm making, like, when you're a guest on a show. Like, I feel like it's a different rate than, because, like, you don't have to be SAG. I feel like you're not getting paid like SAG.
I mean, not like that. Not SAG or anything. Yeah. But for example, if I'm doing, like.
Perfect example. Do you know how Conan does that? Or Jay Leno, they're like. They're
on, yeah, but on the streets, it's different.
Yeah.
Because there, it's just like you're asking them a question, opinion, that's it. There, he was part of that whole sketch.
Yeah.
And he was driving and talking, interacting with them and shit.
Well, I hope so. That'd be awesome. Like, so, I mean, I
saw. He probably got paid.
Well, before that happened, before it aired, because I do Lyft, he made it. I saw. So there's like a community page, and he was just like, dude, you guys wouldn't believe it. I just rode with Conan. Like, he tells this whole story on it, like, a couple weeks before it even happened. And we're like, what? That's sick. I don't even know where I was going with that story. But I do know, got the email from Lyft today, and they are offering $10,000 for driving on New Year's Eve. Three winners, but it's nationwide. So I guess, I don't know all the states that are even doing Lyft, but.
So the chances are minimal.
Minimal, which, like, I would love to make it, and who knows?
No matter what, you're still going to make money on New Year's.
Dude, yeah. So, like, they were saying how, like, there's this thing called prime time now that it spikes the rates up. And it can go up to actually 200% because if there's a high demand, which is going to be a crazy high demand on New Year's Eve. So there's going to be prime time hours. I mean, because, like, there's going to be scarce, like, very scarce Lyft drivers, taxi drivers, Uber drivers, all the drivers. Because everyone's trying to get to their parties and everything, drive home safely. But they were saying how, like, a $30 ride can be like a $90 ride or like $60 to $90 ride because of prime time. Like, it will spike it.
Well, where are you getting the money from? You're not getting it from their wallet.
No, like it's coming off their card, their credit card or their debit.
But do they know that you're fucking spiking it?
Yeah, like, so when they request a Lyft on their app, it will say, like, we're in prime time mode, so like expect higher rates because we're in prime time. Like, they know that they're going to be charged more. But yeah, I don't deal with any cash. Like, they walk out my car, I'm like, and ride, and the next morning I wake up to a summary of how much I made, like each one, like, who paid what, this is like from prime time tips. And like last Saturday I made $275 in 8 hours. Dude, I got the craziest story that happened at Lyft. I picked so it's like kind of a, like, whatever, busy night. I had picked up this girl that it was a booty call. She was leaving this guy's place, and it was, like, really awkward, and then she freaked out her glasses, so she had to call him. And then
Did she tell you all this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
she told me all this. I don't even know why she was telling me, because I was just like, honestly. Like,
Taxi Cab Confessions, man. You never seen that show?
Uh-uh.
Shoney's calling.
Shoney. Dude, I'm ready to eat, man.
I'm ready to eat. Yo.
I'm going to eat your food.
Yo. Yeah, I'm here.
You're here?
Oh, nice.
Say hi to the people, because you're in the podcast right now.
Hey. What up, you snark eaters?
Tell them to bring some food up.
Jonathan.
All right, so we're going to end this?
Yeah, hold up. Yo, Shoney.
Yeah.
Wait, you're downstairs?
Yeah.
Are you in your car or are you outside?
I'm kind of parked.
Okay. Are you coming up for a little bit or you have to leave?
I'll probably just come up for maybe like 5 minutes. I'm out of fucking red zone. But I'm turning on my hazard light.
Mm. All right. Cool. See you in 5, 4,
yeah.
3, 2.
Dude, just go down there and see him.
So we were talking about some shit.
Yeah, you're not going to make him wait down there, are you?
What?
You're going to make him wait down there?
He said he's about to park. Give me like 30 seconds. I have to send off the podcast and shit.
Yeah, but this story is going to take a longer, like, it's a pretty elaborate story, so maybe we'll save it to the next podcast.
Okay, then we'll save it for the next podcast.
It's a good one, though. Remind me.
I'll remind you. You know my friend works in both Lyft and Uber?
Dude, I want to. There is a $500 bonus if I was to do both, or if I went to Uber, they would have paid me $500 for a Lyft driver to go over to Uber. My friend does both as well, but my car is a 2003, and they only do 2006.
But how do they not know? Do you have to have two phones, or like, no, how does that work? Just with one phone?
I think you have like a Lyft.
Because aren't they like competing companies?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like right, so like Uber is doing a $10,000 bonus, so I think that's the reason why Lyft is doing a $10,000 winner bonus, or maybe vice versa. But they're all competing. It's kind
of
like,
you know what that made me think of? Imagine, I know there has to be a couple of niggas here in the world that fucking wake up and go to McDonald's from like 8 to 5 and then from like 6 to 10 work at Burger King. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, the same thing with the whole Pepsi Coke thing. There's those commercials where like the Pepsi or the Coke driver is like sneaking a Pepsi or vice versa.
Dave Chappelle has a good joke on it. He said, I did commercial. He said, I don't give a fuck. I did commercials from Coke and Pepsi. and to be honest with you guys, I don't taste the difference. But recently, Pepsi paid me more, so Pepsi tastes better. The best fucking joke ever. Dave Chappelle, homage to you, Mr. Sir. Well, I want to thank my guest, Jonathan Johnson.
Yes.
Being so awesome. We're about to game and do some shit. And Shoney, I got to go and open the door for him and shit. That's why I'm even doing this. Because if not, I will be just talking to you guys. No, I roll. But anyway, is there anything you want to plug?
No, not really. I mean, I do have my Instagram, JEJohnson5.
How's your Vine doing?
Vine is feeling pretty weak, but I think it's the same screen name on that, JEJohnson5.
What's the 5 stand for? How old you are?
No, thank you very much. Once again, another uneducated
okay, what's going on, John?
Uneducated.
Was that the cigarette smoke? You got the patch favorite. On, nigga? You got the patch?
The 5 stands for, there's 5 people in my family. So it's a Johnson. So my last name is Johnson. It's Johnson 5. So
are you related to Al Johnson? No, he's Johnson.
Who's Al Johnson?
You don't know? He's the original blackface guy.
Well, for one, Johnson is a slave name. So there's a slave.
It's Johnson. Though he's not Johnson.
Well, I'm a Johnson.
Yeah, I just remember it's Johnson.
Different breed.
It's different. Yeah, it sounds the same.
I got
though.
Johnson blood coursing through me. Yeah, Johnson 5 is 5 people in my fams. So
like the Jackson 5.
Exactly. Yep.
Da, 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 da.
A B C 1 2 3. That's me and you, baby.
That's horrible.
Speaking of a special Pepsi commercials, when he was doing it with his Jerry curl.
Yeah, and he burned on fire. This girl is on fire. That's Alicia Keys for y'all. Anyways, guys, I'll see you. I'll see you on the next Steve Dez Island podcast.
You've been listening to the Steve Dez Island podcast. Be sure to visit stevedez.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Dez on Twitter at SteveDezTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDezShow. See you next time.